Hallelujah. How many believe that our God is an awesome God this morning? How many of us believe that our God is an awesome God this morning? On this day, no matter who you are, young or old, no matter who you are, married or unmarried, no matter who you are and where you come from, today God is an awesome God. Today we will honor God. Today we will express our love for Him, and we will allow Him to express His love to us. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you are cold this morning? How many of you are cold? I'm cold. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. I want you to stay standing for a moment as we get into the Word. I want to wake you up for a second. I want to tell you, today I have a message. I am very excited to preach to you today. I am very excited to give you this Word. And here's the message title today. I want this to seep in here. Are you ready? The service today is called Rock My World. Who needs God to rock your world today? Who needs God to rock your world today? I need God to rock my world. I don't need my life the way it is now. I need it to be bigger. I need it to be better. I need God to do something awesome. That's right. Lord, we're going to take it to the throne. And we ask, Lord, that you make your word clear to us. That, Lord, you say what you need to say to the hearts, minds, and souls in this building. And, Father God, that we show our love as we feel your love. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you remain standing as I open up my Bible here. Here we go. We're going to put the scripture on the board here in a moment. It's in Genesis 29, and it begins with this. So Jacob went on a journey. How many of us are on a journey today? Now, you guys didn't hear me. How many of us are on a journey today? How many of us know where we are right now is not where we're going? Where we are right now is not where we're going to end up. We are going somewhere. Oh, yeah, the Lord is doing something with you, and all of us in this very place as individuals and as a church, we're on a journey. And it says he came to the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and he saw a well in the field. You see, when you're on a journey, as Jacob was, and he was called by God to be on this journey, he was walking through the lands, and he was thirsty, and of course he's looking for a well. You know what a well is? A well is where water is. You know what water is? Water brings life. Water is blessing. He's looking for that. And he saw a well, and behold, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well, they watered the flocks. You see, this was not just a small well. This was a big well. All the sheep would come here, and they would take part in the water. But it says there was a large stone on the well's mouth. How many of you today have a large stone in your life? How many of us today have something blocking where we're going on our journey? How many of us today perhaps have a stone that's in between you and your blessing? That's what this is about. See, it says in verse 3, now all the flocks were gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. You see, this is just telling us that the blessing, the well, it needed to be protected. You see, you know, anything of value, we protect. Right? Our homes, our children, our relationships, if it's valuable, we protect it. And so the stone was there to protect the well from dirt, from dust, from contaminants to come into it, so that the passerbys or animals couldn't have free will to it. We're protecting the well. And Jacob said to them, my brethren, where are you from? And they said, we are from Haran. And then he said, do you know Laban? And they said, we know him. You see, he was on a journey looking for somebody. He was a shepherd. He saw sheep. He said, hey, maybe you know my guy. He says, yeah, we know your guy. So now he's in amongst friends. Are we amongst friends today? All right. So you need to stand on here, because here it comes. So then he said to him, is he well? And they said, yes, he's well. And look, his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. Then he said, well, since I'm among friends, I should give you a little advice here. You know, when you're around friends, we always love to give our friends advice, right? Everyone loves unsolicited advice, right? So Jacob's given a little bit of advice. He knows what's going on, and Jacob says to him, "Look, it is still high day. It is not time for the cattle to be gathered together. Water the sheep and go and feed them." You see, it's hot. When it's hot, you need to be fed. You need to have some water. He said, this is not, you're running late. You're doing something not right today. Your sheep, you're going to get, you may lose some. They may die. You can't be out in this. You know, and of course, as any of us who've gotten advice before, the number one reason why we don't take it is because we got an excuse. And here it is. But they said, we cannot until all the flax are gathered together. And then together we will roll the stone away from the well's mouth. Then we will water the sheep. It's time for him to get into a debate, but he didn't. Hang in there. Here we go. It says, now when he was speaking, when he was conducting his affairs, Rachel came and her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. How many of you young men want a shepherdess in your life today? Right? There's some young men here that would like a shepherdess, or maybe some young ladies that would like a shepherd in their life, a prince or a princess. You know, the word says that we are heirs and joint heirs with him, which means if you start looking in the Christian flock, you're going to find yourself some princes and princesses. This was a shepherdess, and it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel. In an instant, something happened. He saw Rachel, and something welled up inside of him, something deep down inside it he didn't know was there. Something began to brew. Something began to rise up, and this little thing that he didn't know what it was, well, it caused some dramatic reaction. It says, then Jacob said, I don't need no shepherds. He says, I went near the rock, and I rolled that stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock. He said, Rachel, I like you. Oh, Rachel, I see what you need. You need some water for your sheep. Oh, I'll give you what you need, Rachel. Don't worry about these shepherds. I'll move this rock. He moved that rock away. And in verse 11, in case you're wondering where we're going with this, here's your Valentine's Day message. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Heavenly Father, speak this word to our lives. Speak this word, Lord God, to what we have to say today. Allow your truth to be made present in our life. In your name, amen. Amen. If you can, you be seated, but you hang in there because we're going on a ride. You hang in there. So what I have to ask first here is, did everyone get one of these? If you did not get one of these cards, I need you to raise your hand. Anyone get one of these cards? Anyone get one of these cards? Okay. Anybody get one of these candies? Okay. So what is the deal with the Valentine's Day card? Everyone's asking. Well, in case you didn't know, today is Valentine's Day. So if you didn't know that, you're living under a rock and you need Jacob to come and move it for you. Okay, and Valentine's Day, look, it's pretty simple. It's about expressing your love for one another, for taking those relationships you value the most and expressing the love. Watch this. If you feel the love, you're supposed to show the love. If you feel the love, you show the love. If you feel the love, you guys are going to have to work harder than this. Thank you, Bill. If you feel the love, if you show the love, then you feel the love. If you show the love, and if you feel the love, okay. These Valentine's Day cards, let me tell you what these are all about. Well, God wants to show you his love today. So no one in this building can say, I didn't get a Valentine's Day card today. God has given you a Valentine's Day card. And here's the kicker. Inside the Valentine's Day card is a little verse. God wrote it. He put it in there, and it's for you. Everyone, no matter where your lot in life is, no matter where you come from or where you're going, you got a Valentine's Day card because God loves you. That's the first reason you got one. The second reason requires a bit of a story, so let me go into that real quick. You see, I've been married now 16 years. I've practiced a number of Valentine's Days. I have 4 children, and we often give cards to them and gifts to them. And throughout the course of the years of giving Valentine's Day cards, I decided to try something new. Now, if you're taking notes, this is not the time to do so. Okay? Do not take notes on this. See, what happened was I figured, hey, I had showed my love to my wife many times. This was a Valentine's. I didn't need to buy her anything else. She knows how much I love her. So I bring it up, honey, on this Valentine's, this was a couple years ago, on this Valentine's Day, how about we don't buy each other anything? Yeah, you know how much I love you. I show it all year long. Don't take notes. And this day is special. I'll show you how special it is. I'll take you out. We'll enjoy each other's company. And so she said, sure, that sounds okay. And so the week passed, and Valentine's Day came, and I dressed up, and I took her out to a nice meal. And by the way, gentlemen, if you feel the love, show the love. Take your lady out somewhere. Do something for them tonight. Maybe if it's not go out to meal, maybe you make a meal at home. Maybe you do something, but show her how much you love her. Anyway, so I did that with my wife that night, and then we came home, and we put the kids to bed, and we head upstairs, and we're closing out the night. She's in the bedroom, and I'm finishing what I'm doing. I'm coming in, and she's sitting there on the bed, and she's got that look in her eye. Jeff, get your mind out of the gutter, son. She's got that look like Christmas morning look, right? Like, ooh, what am I going to get? Right? And she then leans over into her nightstand, and she pulls out a card like this. And she says, I got your Valentine's Day card. Well, right about now, I got a pit in my stomach about as big as a basketball. And she says, I want to read this card to you. And she opens up this card. She pulls it out. And on this Valentine's Day card, it said something like, Sean, you are the greatest husband. Sean, you are the greatest father. Sean, you're the best man that ever lived. And I'm so happy to have you. And on about how great I am, and then that basketball's turning into like a globe now in my stomach. And I'm beginning to really wonder because, you know, I know what I was about to say. Again, don't take notes. Honey, she puts the card away, and she's looking at me. I know it's just that look of, well, what do you have for me? Where's my card? And I said the first thing that came to mind. I thought we weren't giving gifts on Valentine's Day. Not a good thing to say. Even worse thing to do. She then proceeds to turn out the light, rolls over. It was not the best night of our 16 years, or at that time 13 years. And with tears rolling down her face, she says, well, the Valentine's Day card doesn't count. I'm thinking to myself, why? How am I supposed to know that? I have to buy it, right? It's giving you something. Well, the point that she was making is that Valentine's Day is a day where if you love someone, if you value a relationship more than another, that you express that relationship, you express that love in some way, even if it's just writing down your thoughts or expressing your thoughts in word to those you care the most about, like perhaps your spouse or perhaps your son or perhaps your mother or perhaps the Lord himself. And so the second reason you all have a card today is you will not make the same mistake that I did. There is no one here that needs to run to 7-Eleven, Walgreens, or so. Oops, I didn't get a card. You got one. And if you need an extra one, go pick one up on the way out. We got plenty. And hand it to your special someone or hand it to your mother or your child or whatever you need to do. You can even open it up and you can write a little special something on the left-hand side of that card. You can put a name on it. Hey, I'm telling you, there may be somebody who maybe is having a bad Valentine's Day. And you don't know what to say to them. You don't know what to do. Well, these cards got really nice little sayings from God on it. You don't have to say nothing but lick it, close it, and maybe put a name on it. Or even just say, for you, and give it to somebody. How about that? Come on, church. We need to be a loving church. If we can't celebrate the day of love, then what is the church about? Amen. I like it, brother. All right, so you're going to have to help me because here we go. So on Valentine's Day, it's often a day we talk about love stories. You see, love stories are part of our DNA. It's part of how God has made us. Every movie that's ever been made, I submit, has some function of a love story in it. There's always some heartthrob or romance or someone doing something for a young lady for the sake of love or a family member or a child. God is no different. He has given us the greatest love story of all ages. And on this morning, you may hear pastors preach about Jesus as the greatest love story of all and to date Jesus. And I could do that sermon, but I'm not. And I could look and I could see Adam and Eve as a love story. Or I could look at Abraham and Sarah as a love story. Or Ruth and Boaz as a love story. But those aren't the ones that God pointed out to me this Sunday. He told me to look at one of the greatest love stories the Bible have to say in the Old Testament, and that's of Jacob and Rachel. So, Sean, why is this a great love story? Well, I would think every woman here would agree that they want some Jacob in their life. They want some Jacob in their life. You see, he adored Rachel. It was love at first sight, instant romance. The moment he laid eyes on her, he's like, if you guys ain't picking up that rock, I'm gonna pick up that rock. Now, this was not no little rock. This was a gigantic, you know, colossus of a rock. It required many shepherds to pick it up. And in my mind, Jacob's like, ripping off the shirt. He's going, oh, I'm gonna get you, Rachel. I'm gonna pick up that rock. Hey, throw it down there. He says, now, Rachel, you get yourself some water. I got you. This is how he loved her. He loved her so much that from that event, he went and followed and found her father and said, I want to marry her, and I will do whatever it takes. I will serve you for 7 years. How many women out there want their man to serve their family for 7 years out of their love and devotion for them? Well, I think every woman here would agree they want some Jacob in their life. But you see, when there was sacrifice for love, but they ended up getting married, and their marriage wasn't perfect. They were a real couple. Their marriage wasn't perfect. They had all types of struggles in their marriage. There was competition in their marriage. There was deceit in their marriage. There was trouble with children in their marriage. And because of all that, sin entered into their marriage. There was deceit and thievery and manipulation. And you know what? This is real life. Things happen. And that's the love story that is Rachel and Jacob. But here's what's really amazing about that. That because they love the Lord and because they continue to take it to the Lord, God intervened into their marriage. God intervened into their life. God called, Rachel called out to God and said, help me, Lord. And she was barren and she couldn't have children. And yet she did. And God answered her prayer and allowed her to have children. And you know what? Despite all of that and despite all the troubles they had with her father and his brother and all the family drama, and I'm the straight Jerry Springer family drama in Jacob's life. You go back and read it. I'm not going to get into it all today. It was some crazy stuff in Jacob's family's life and then in Jacob's marriage. He had, you know, multiple wives because of the situation. Talk about that later, but it was crazy. And despite all of that, they were able to make it happen. How many of us want relationships today where the other one sticks it out to make it happen? Right? That's the love story that is Jacob and Rachel. And that's the love story that I wanted to talk to you about today. The story of when things aren't necessarily ideal or fair, that we find a way to push through. Amen. I want you to say it again, because I think you're getting quiet here. Feel the love.
That's it. You got it.
Show the love. Feel the love. That's exactly right. You see, that's the story of the gospel. God felt the love for us, so he showed the love over and over and over again, epitomized by his son, Jesus Christ himself, who also felt the love of all those around him and decided to show the love by bearing it on the cross. This story was foreshadowed years before in this story of Jacob. I got to move here because I got to get you excited about what's going on. You see, what I've learned about Jacob when I was studying this passage again is that Jacob was able to show his love in a very, very powerful way. Love should move you to action. Love is not just a feeling. It is an action. And I submit to you guys today that you need to find a way for your actions to speak as loud as your desire. I think you guys need to find a way for your actions to speak as loud as your desire. If you love something and you love someone, show them. Go out of your way and express your love. That is what God calls us, that he loves us so much that we feel our love for him and our desire to be in his will, that we show our love everywhere we go. In this case, Jacob tried to impress her. Jacob went out of his way to move the rock and then to serve her father for 7 years. 7 years. And then at the end of the 7 years, he got tricked. He didn't even get Rachel. And he needed to serve another 7 years. He put his money where his mouth is. Here's what also I liked about this story. Men, here's some advice for you on Valentine's Day. Jacob did what all men do. They see a problem, they try to fix it. He says, look, you're going to kill your sheep. I don't know if you guys know what you're doing, what kind of shepherd you are, but you're not supposed to have your sheep out in the middle of noon. Okay, this is not a good idea. You need to move that rock, you need to move on with your business. This is what we do. We try to fix things, we like to give advice. But something changed. You see, when he saw Rachel and he began to feel the love, something inside of him became less him and more about her. It became less him and more about his desire. He didn't want to give advice and start debating. You know what he did, man? He took a little of his own advice and he stopped talking. He started doing. Come on, man. We need to stop talking and we need to start doing. We need to stop talking and we need to start doing. And that's what Jacob did. He said, I'll move that rock. I'm sure that rock was heavy. I'm sure that rock was hard. But he moved that rock. He took a little of his own advice and he moved that rock. Ladies, how was he able to move that rock? You know, it took three men at times to move it. Jacob wasn't supernaturally strong. How was he able to do it? Here's a secret I've learned in marriage. It works in marriage. It works in your relationship with your children. It works in relationships with your mother and father. It works with your relationships at work. It is a fundamental truth in all relationships that we're learning here. And I want to teach you guys today. Because love is powerful and it should move us to action. Show them something sweet. Show them something sweet. You want somebody to do something? Show them something sweet. You want your man to do something he doesn't normally do? Show him something sweet. You want her to do something she doesn't normally do? Show him something sweet. You see, Jacob, he walked in there with all sorts of things in his mind. He was on a journey. God was calling him to do something. And then he took one look at that sweet face of Rachel. And he decided to move that rock. Rachel gave him one little sweet kiss. And he decided to serve her for 7 years in order to get her hand in marriage. Listen, if you show him something sweet, maybe you're a little nicer to him in the morning. Maybe you say, hey, good job, honey. You're making a really great decision here. Or I stand behind you, honey. I love you no matter what you do. You show him something sweet, and here's what's going to happen. You're going to find the dishes done a little more often. You're going to find the laundry put away a little more often. You're going to find that the kids are acting a little nicer. You see, what's going to happen is sweetness is a way to show your love. People don't like bitter people. If you're not sweet, you're bitter. And people don't like bitter people. Help get that bitterness out. You see, if you don't have sweetness in your life, you get this taste of bitterness. And you see, we need to wash out that taste of fear, that taste of despair, that taste of depression, and we can do that with something a little sweet. And here the Lord is saying to you guys today, I want to give you something sweet. And before I get into the rest of the message, you got that little candy I gave you? That little red candy? You pull out that candy now. This is the time you can unwrap that candy and you can put that candy in your mouth if you want. You can eat that candy. And then here's what I want you to say. I want you to say something sweet. Say something sweet. Something sweet. Something sweet. Now, there may be some of you out there right now, who say, I have no clue what you're talking about, Sean. That's okay. That's okay, because I need to break it down for you for a second. This story, here's something you can understand. You can understand, man or woman, because God's put it inside of you, what it feels like when you see the love of your life for the first time, or she bats her eyes at you for the first time, or he has that sparkle that first time, or he says those words to you that first time. Oh, you know what that is. You know what that feels like. You've either seen it on TV, you've read it about it in books, or you've experienced it in your life. And God, what he means by this sweetness, what he means is he's showing us that Jacob took one look at her and was able to change the entire course of his life. Took one look at her and changed the entire course of his life. What am I saying? I submit to you today that some of you need to stop what you're doing, stop looking to the left, stop looking to the right, stop wondering where God is, and start seeking his face. Take one look at who God is. Take one look at how great God is. Take one look at his miracle-working hand. Take one look at his glory and his honor. Take one look at the training of his temple, and I guarantee you it will change your life. Jacob was the only one who fell in love at first sight. If you don't love God today, I tell you, if you don't have a passion for God today, it's because you have not experienced this sweetness. And I submit to you, you need to get down and you need to seek God and say, show me that face, Lord. And I guarantee you one thing, he will do it. Here's a cool part about this story too, and I got to say this before I move on. It says in that there was another action that happened. It says he cried out and he wept. I don't believe that Jacob, maybe he did, maybe he kissed her and then he began to cry right in front of her eye. And maybe that was the case. Generally speaking, men don't cry. Generally speaking, they don't cry after they kiss a girl for the first time, unless she goes, ew. Okay, so I'm thinking, well, what's he crying about? What's he crying about? Here's something for you guys. I want you to get a hold of this for a second. If you study the story of Jacob, you find that just right before this, Jacob was struggling. He had a terrible family life. His brother hated him. His brother literally was trying to kill him. His dad wasn't sure what was going on. His mom told him to run away. He's now going to a far land. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where he's going. And somehow he's told that God is telling him to do this. And then in the midst of that, he's exhausted. He falls asleep. And you have the famous story called the Jacob's Ladder. And in this story, he basically has a dream. And God tells him in this dream that he is to be a great man. And that God's kingdom is going to be breathed through him. And that he's going to have many descendants. And all of a sudden, he's faced with reality. I have a calling on my life. God himself just told me. You know what happens when God tells you about his calling sometimes? You know what happens? What happens is you get nervous. You get worried. Am I going to have to change jobs? Am I going to have to be with somebody I don't want to be with? Am I going to have to go to some strange faraway land? Am I going to have to take a new major in college? I don't want God's calling in my life. I want to do my life and let God work his way out through it. But not in this case. Jacob heard God's plan, his audible voice, and he said, this is what I have to do. And I bet you Jacob was a little nervous. Jacob did not like his family life. Jacob was saying, hey, if this was what family is all about, I don't know if I want all of that. And then something happened. Jacob went to this well to do what God has told him to do, and he didn't just find living water. He didn't just find substance and supply. What he found was Rachel. What do you mean, Sean? What I mean is, it was in the moment he laid eyes on Rachel that he said, oh, yeah, Lord, I want to be a part of this plan. Oh, many kids? I want to have many kids with her. Oh, you want me to be married? I want to marry her. Lord, if you're going to give me her, I'm willing to do whatever your plan is. Oh, Lord, you want to bring the tribes of Israel through me? We're going to go through her. Do you see my point is that God knows the desires of your heart. You somehow think that his calling and his plan in your life is going to be boring or it's going to be painful or it's somehow going to be something that doesn't meet your needs. God is all about meeting your needs. God is all about pouring into your life. And what he's trying to teach us here is that Jacob wept because he realized that God's plan was perfect. That God gave him a glimpse of what his future would be by taking his eyes and putting them on Rachel and say, this is what I have for you. This is the plan. And the Lord has plans for each and every one of you. And he's trying to give you glimpses of what that plan is. But some of you just ain't looking. You're looking at how difficult life is. You're looking how thirsty you are. You're looking how big the rock is. Look around and move yourself to action. Move yourself to action. Okay, so let me get you going a little bit here. Every human being in this place has needs. God created it that way. The fundamental concept of needs is that we need him. So he's going to constantly make sure that we have needs in our life. Some of those needs are met by those people around us. So let me start with this. Say, I need that. Every one of us needs something. Now think of what that something is in your head. That's the that. Now say, I need that. You see, everybody needs something. God designed it that way. If you didn't need anything, you wouldn't need him. Okay. But here's where it gets interesting, guys. Here's where the story gets very interesting for me. Some of us are struggling with spiritual thirst. Some of us are struggling on a journey, and we don't know where God is. And in that journey, not only do we not know where God is, but we have this giant rock in our way, preventing us to our blessing. And we're asking God, we're praying for God to move the rock. Many of us today are sitting here because we are praying that God will move the rock in our life. I know it. I've prayed with some of you. How many of you are waiting for God to move that boulder? How many of you are waiting for God to move that boulder? You see here, I want you to listen here. I want you to focus. I want to read it just so I can make sure you got it, because the Lord shared this with me. Some of you may miss your blessing because you have not identified who God has sent to deliver it. Let that settle in. I want to say it again. Some of you may miss your blessing because you have not identified who God has sent to deliver it. Some of us believe that God will meet all of our needs. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can lift up boulders and I can, God will just meet all my needs. God is all I need. And God's in heaven saying, what? Really? Really? No, you got it twisted, you see. God is saying, I have all you need. And I will give you all you need through your people. That's why we need a husband and a wife. There are needs God can't meet that your husband and your wife need to meet. There are needs that people around you are going to meet because God sent them to meet it. Are you guys getting a hold of this today? Okay, here, you guys said I need that. Let me try something else. I want you to say, I got you. I got you. You see, that's the new age way of saying for you old timers, that's like saying, I'll do it. I'll do it. I got you means you got a need, and I want to show my love, and I want to meet your need. How many of us need a boulder out of our life? How many of us need God's blessing in our life? How many of us say, hey, Lord, I need to focus on who you're sending into my life to meet my need? And some of you may think it needs to be perfect people. It needs to be angelic people. And it's why you look at services like this and say, well, I'm not going to get my blessing today if that guy's speaking. I'm not going to get my blessing today if that person's singing. You have not identified who God has sent to deliver. Don't isolate yourself. Don't pull yourself out of church. Don't think that God is going to do all things for you in isolation. That's not the way he designed it. He said that we are vessels and that he will supply us with his supply, that he will empty our vessel, fill us up with what he has, send us to the gathering of the church as a distribution center to deliver the supply to his people. It is the church where we go and we meet the needs of each other. There are people in this very church that need needs met. There are people in this church where today is a very, very sad day, where today just sucks and they wish today would go away. And I mean that. And today is a day where we as a church need to meet their needs. We need to give them a Valentine's Day card. We need to say we love you. We need to say God loves you more. And we need to say hang in there. Okay. Feel the love. Here's something else I want to share with you. Not only were they imperfect people, Jacob and Rachel, read the story. They have a terrible reputation. I don't have time to get into that this week. Maybe I'll get into that next week. But God was able to take imperfect people, not only do miracles, but literally create the 12 tribes of Judah. Okay, you don't know what that means. Fair enough. You know who Jesus is? Guess where he came from? Tribes of Judah. It's one of the tribes of Israel. take two of the most imperfect people in the Bible, one of the most imperfect marriages in the Bible, one of the most romantic stories in the Bible, put them together, have them do all kind of craziness, go to God, God forgive them, God do miracles in their life, and then let God's plan play out. That's what he wants to do with every one of us. There is no perfect marriage. We are imperfect people. But here's what's really interesting. This one's good. How many of us feel like we're stuck in a rut? How many of us are like, life is boring. I don't know where you are. I get up. I eat breakfast. I take a shower. I go to work. I get up. I take the kids to school. I come home and do laundry. I get up. I go to the gym. I go to work. I come home. I eat dinner. I put the kids to bed. I go to the gym. I watch the show. And then rinse, repeat. I do the same thing. Lord, where are you? Why is life so boring? Why can't I feel you? Why is church not exciting? Why is my friends not exciting? Why aren't you exciting? I don't understand what this guy's talking about. My life's not like that. This is why. Listen for a second. Rachel every day went and fed her sheep at the well. Every day, this was her routine. She was a shepherdess. This is what she did. The shepherds did that every day. In her everyday routine. She stopped and took a look at what God was doing in her life, and it changed it from that day forward. God will use your everyday life and put people in your life to dramatically change it. Dramatically change it. And I'm telling you right now that God is putting people in your everyday life, and you are looking left, and you are looking right, and you're not even looking at anyone's eyes because all you're thinking about is, God, why aren't you doing anything? He's like, what about him? What about her? What about that person? Did you even look? God wants to do something amazing in your life. But you got to take note. And that's why the rest of us are going to say, I got you. That's right. So we're going to be in somebody's everyday life. And we're going to jazz it up a little bit. We're going to give somebody a card today that wasn't expecting a card. We're going to tell somebody today, God loves you, that wasn't expecting that. We're going to change somebody's life today.